This is Howard Husick, Vice President for Policy Research at the Manhattan Institute, and I'm joined by Mark Mills, a fellow in our Center for Energy Policy and the Environment, and the author of the new report, Unleashing the North American Energy Colossus, Hydrocarbons Can Fuel Growth and Prosperity. Thanks for joining me, Mark.
It's a pleasure, Howard. Thank you.
You know, we've been accustomed in the United States to thinking for really more than a generation now that we're suffering from an energy shortage and that we must worry about having enough energy. Your report has a different emphasis. Why have you taken that perspective, and what do you think that means?
Well, my report outlines something that geologists have known for a long time, that the North American continent, and the United States in particular, are awash in hydrocarbons, oil, coal, and natural gas. We have astounding quantities of these energy resources in the United States. The key change in the last 5 or 10 years has been that technology is finally making it possible for us to unleash those resources. This is a very big deal. The United States has reversed its decline in oil production for the first time in 40 years. It's been rising for 3 years. We're awash in natural gas from these resources, as many people know. And, of course, a lot of people know that we've had astounding quantities of coal in North America and the United States for a very long time, and we've become extraordinarily productive at producing coal from those resources.
What are the economic implications? The paper, and again, the name is Unleashing the North American Energy Colossus, so that implies that there would be benefits when you get unleashed. That feels like a good thing. Are there economic benefits that could be realized from this? You emphasize exports particularly. Why would an export-oriented energy policy benefit the American economy?
I emphasize exports, and of course economic benefits are the most intriguing for us in this country today in these particularly difficult times. But it's very simple. The world is using a lot of hydrocarbons, and this is not something that's going to change for a very long time. And that's not coming from my forecast, but from all manner of national and international organizations. See that the total world's appetite for energy will grow over the next 2 decades by an amount equal to adding 2 United States worth of demand. And most of that energy, between 60 and 80%, will come from hydrocarbons. There's an incredible quantity of new demand coming down the pike. And we can do something very different than we've been worrying about for the past 20 or 30 years. Instead of worrying about import dependence on our part, we can use our resources to not only go to independence, but go beyond that, becoming a major exporter to the world. That would have enormous implications, of course, for geopolitics, but maybe most importantly, for most people. What this really means is trillions of dollars of economic benefits to the United States and millions of jobs, not thousands, but millions of jobs. And mainly, these are high-paying jobs that ripple out through the economy, having a profoundly beneficial impact. We know this is possible because it's already starting. It's starting even though we didn't ask it to start. There have been no policies to encourage this. In states from Ohio and North Dakota to Louisiana and Texas, there are already thousands more jobs, in some cases maybe 100,000 more jobs in a few places, and billions of dollars of benefits to local states and to local treasuries, school districts, from the incredible increase in oil and gas production from these new technologies.
You said that we have not put in place policies to encourage this change, even though it's starting to bubble up. What sort of policies would encourage it?
Well, the simplest one is, from a high-level perspective, is that we should generally encourage, not discourage, industry to produce oil, gas, and coal and to sell it and export it. But that's a simplistic way of saying it. The kind of specific problems we have a very complicated, labyrinthine, and discouraging regulatory environment for large energy projects that involve oil, coal, and gas. We're not a nation that is generally friendly to the increased production of hydrocarbon resources. This is really backwards in terms of what the world needs, what our economy needs. The kind of specific thing that we could do at the federal level would be to implement a policy not unlike Canada's, where the Canadian government decided to help industry, not to avoid regulation, but to make it easier to comply with them by establishing what they call some sort of a simple words, a one portal for one project policy. If you have a project, a major project, whatever it is, from an oil field or a coal field to a pipeline to a port to export, you have one place to make an application for all of the permits that are required. And it's incumbent on the government to help facilitate the private sector to figure out how to comply with the various different requirements to build major projects. This is a very good idea. It's something that we certainly could do in the United States, and this would be an enormous benefit to the private sector in terms of getting projects permitted and provide a great deal of encouragement for the kinds of huge investments that will be needed. And then we get more jobs, more construction jobs, more high-quality engineering jobs, more labor jobs. It's probably the single most important thing we could do to unleash both energy security and energy wealth, but jobs and a reduction on our general deficit.
Let me just push back on you a moment in the following way. As you know, the conversation about energy has not only been about shortage, it's been about green energy, windmills and solar and new generation, different types of energy. And there are going to be some voices that would respond to an emphasis on hydrocarbons and actually raise the question whether it's moral for the United States to encourage exploration, development, and export of hydrocarbons. How do you think about that?
There's two parts to this. First is being realistic, or you might give us a cynic, say being an adult about this. The world is going to use a lot more energy because of the enormous expansion in the population and the wealth of the world. That we know is going to happen. About that, there's no debate. We also know that even the organizations that are extraordinarily optimistic about alternative energy sources forecast that the majority of all of the world's increased consumption will come from more hydrocarbons produced. Other people will produce this, whether we do or not. Other countries, other parts of the world will produce more oil, coal, and gas to supply the world. So the most important fact is it's going to happen whether we participate or not. So from my perspective, the moral question asks is why are we leaving Americans out of the opportunity for the economic gains? Why are we not providing the world with one of the most reliable sources of energy that's possible? The United States and North American allies are among the most reliable suppliers of everything or anything to the world. The other part that's important here is there's a certain amount of wishful thinking in hoping that alternatives could displace hydrocarbons quickly. I'm not raising any doubts about the increased contribution from non-hydrocarbon sources and alternative energy. In fact, my position would be that the kind of wealth that will be generated from unleashing hydrocarbons is precisely what's needed to fund continual R&D that is now needed and still needed desperately to continue to reduce the costs and improve the efficacy of the alternative energy sector. It simply is not technically possible or economically possible to supply the enormous quantities of energy the world will need just from alternative energy sources.
And so wealth from the hydrocarbon revolution that you're talking about could fund the next stage of technological innovation. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying that, but I'm also, to be clear, that the technological innovation that's happening is happening in the non-hydrocarbon areas as well as the hydrocarbon areas. A lot of people behave implicitly as if the entire revolution in information technologies and material science that's taken place in the last 20 years only helps non-hydrocarbon energy technologies. Obviously, it helps everything, and in fact, the biggest and most transformational changes in technology have occurred in the hydrocarbons. That said, clearly, the kind of wealth we're talking about, which again is measured in trillions of dollars of benefits to the United States and states, this will generate an enormous amount of investment in basic R&D and education, and it will make a difference to new forms of technology that are not with hydrocarbons. It's the kind of thing that takes time, and it will happen.
Well, thank you, Mark. That was Mark Mills. He's the author of the Manhattan Institute's new paper, part of the Institute's Power and Growth Initiative. The paper is entitled Unleashing the North American Energy Colossus, Hydrocarbons Can Fuel Growth and Prosperity. I'm Howard Husick, Vice President for Policy Research at the Institute. Thank you for joining us.